Boom, we're live, man. We're recording, we're streaming, whatever anyone wants to call it.
We're live. We're live, bro. Forget it. We're live around the world right now.
I wish.
You got a tote bag on too? Look at you. I love you. You've grown up on me.
Bro, I've got that. Grown up. I'm going for that British James Bond look. Do you know what I mean? Trying to look suave. Yes. How's it doing?
Yeah, I like it.
Yep. So, a lot's gone on since we spoke a while ago. I believe it was like 2 years ago. What's new? What's new in the world of you, man? What's been going on?
Okay, so I think the last time we spoke, I had just left Top Team, so I was opening up my own facility. And since then, we've grown from that facility to two others. So I had partnered up with Mo Vaughn for a little bit, did some stuff with him. And now I moved into a brand new facility, which is actually in my old neighborhood, which is cool because I get back to my community. And we're also putting together everything all in one house. So I have the gym, I have the production studio, which we do the podcast out of. I'll do some other things with videos and things like that for Instagram and YouTube. And then I also have a rejuvenation clinic that I'm part owning, which is on the other side of the building, which we also have a full recovery center there. So we have infrared sauna, we have a cold plunge, you know, Normatec boots, the whole nine, for all the athletes, the fighters, the people that come in, the clients that come in and train with us. Eventually, I want to go ahead and just take the entire building and put in like a cafeteria, you know, basically fit food for those that want to just stay there, train, get their meals, go get some recovery, chill out with the lounge area. And then we also have a massage therapist on hand. So that does help a lot. And then probably I'm going to look into getting some physical therapists and athletic trainers too as well. So that's my vision for the future, for the gym itself. And then possibly from there, the goal is to, not possibly, we are going to license out Daru Strong performance centers around the world. So that's the end goal for that. As far as programs and things of that nature, I probably put out three more programs. So we got online programs that I've been doing since, you know, we've talked in the past, but we got a coming up now, we got a kettlebell program coming out, which is a follow along. We did a body weight program. We did one and two. So I have 1.0, 2.0, which is body weight only. That was, you know, because of the pandemic primarily. And a lot of people were asking for it. So body weight only combat sports, dedicated program. So that's out. And I also started my own supplement. So I was getting sick of piecemealing like all these different formulas together to recover from training, and then also giving my clients and athletes all these different things that they would have to take. So I just decided to find a manufacturing company. Actually, they were right by my facility, so it worked out, and put something together. I call it Battle Tested, which is a post-workout, but it's more recovery-based drink or powder that you can use for recovery. So then from there, you know, I definitely want to do like a full line of different supplements. So I'll probably do a pre-workout, intra-workout, post-workout, and that'll be the peri-workout combo that you can get. But that's all available on my website now. You know, got some new trainers in with me. And since COVID, we haven't been able to go overseas or do anything of that nature with seminars, but I'm going to be going back to across the pond. I'll be going to Portugal next weekend, and then Poland in December, and then we'll probably do something in London again pretty soon, maybe next year, and then Serbia's next year too as well. So a lot of things happening like always for me. I started working with Kevin Lee, which is cool. Super nice dude. Obviously a great athlete. Just getting him back. He's never really done any strength and conditioning, so we've been working diligently on that. He tore his ACL in his last fight. Obviously this is the first time I'm gonna be working with him. So I'm gonna build his muscles back in there, work on the tissue that supports the joint, and hopefully he'll get back in there without having to do surgery, which is it's tough to do, but we can do it, and he can't afford to actually have another surgery. So we're in the process of doing that. As far as the mentorship's going really well. We have over 3,500 coaches from around the world that I've been able to mentor. So that's cool. And that's going to grow. I work with Timberland now. So we're doing a lot of stuff with him. Probably going to put together a conference later on next year, which will be cool because it's a different type of, it's a different world, you know, from what I'm used to. Combat sports world, dipping in now to not so much, not that I'm not used to the hip hop community, but it is different from an industry standpoint. Working with him and doing some projects with him is going to be dope. So be on the lookout for that. And yeah, I mean, this is off the top of my head is what I can think of. I probably got more going on, but
yeah,
you know, we'll talk about it.
Bro, you were like chilling on Timberland's party, weren't you? Went to his birthday or something. Yeah. I'm sure. How was that? Was that mental? Was you thinking, like, how ended up being?
No, like people ask me, like, man, I guess if you look back and you connect the dots, you're like, damn, that's cool. Like, I never would have thought probably, but I knew that there was something that was going to align that way, as opposed to, you know, as an athlete, as a trainer, as a business owner, entrepreneur, whatever you want to call it, you aim big, you know, you strive for big things. So for me, it wasn't out of the realm of what I had thought or envisioned in my mind. You know, it's just a party at the end of the day. Now, is it on a yacht with Busta Rhymes and Chris Rock and Timbaland sitting with him and him introducing me to Justin Timberlake and all that? Maybe not. But at that particular time, I was like, I was supposed to be here, right? My wife loved it. She loved it more than me. I mean, so it was cool that she was able to experience it because she just had a ball. But for me, I was just happy to see people that he loved being around come together and celebrate his. Because at this point, like, we're not just, you know, not client, coach. It is more of a friendship, more of a family. We've been working together now for 3 years. So, and really consistent. You know, there was a time where I was going to Miami every day. We traveled to different places. We traveled to Beverly Hills when he was working with Justin for the new album, Justin Timberlake for the new album. You know, we've spent hours talking, not just business, not just life, but everything that encapsulates, you know, him and his mind, and then also what I go through. So I look at him as somewhat of a mentor. He looks at me as someone who's, like, you know, obviously young and hungry and still trying to thrive for more, which allows him to up his game, right? And allows him to keep his finger on the pulse, in a sense, when it comes down to the culture. So yeah, we're able to feed off each other, and that's why, like, it wasn't out of the ordinary for me to be in that same position or be in that world with him.
How do you how important do you feel who you associate with affects you? If you get what I mean by that, you know, like, if you're around negative people, is that going to lead you into negativity? Or with successful people, success is going to breed, like, your social circle. Like, how important do you feel that is?
It's everything, man. I think it's everything. I believe that now more than ever, being around certain individuals like a Kevin James, a Timberland, you know, Dustin Poirier, these successful people in their collective fields, right, it is so important because it gives you another way of thinking. It elevates your thoughts in a capacity to where you know that what you're doing can be elevated 10 times over, right? When you have people with bad energy and they bring down the culture, their negative thoughts, and even the way they go about attacking certain projects, if they're not all in and they're around you, that is going to bleed off into your own personality, into the way you actually go about handling your things that you need to handle. So even in the gym, or if I'm around, like, the people that I work with, people that work for me, they don't have that energy that I want, I'm going to get them out of there, you know, because I don't have time. I don't have the luxury to just sit around and manage people that don't want to be managed or cannot be managed in a positive manner. And sometimes it ends up tarnishing or hindering the progression of the entire aspect of what we're trying to accomplish. So if you're looking to better yourself, if you're looking to be successful, the goal is to always be around those successful people. And not all the time, you're going to have those people that are, you know, millionaires and billionaires, whatever. You may have that, but you may also have those peers that are still on that same mindset as you, right? So they don't always have to be at the upper echelon of success, but you still want to be around people that are on the same mind frame and the trajectory as you are in, because now you guys can fight together side by side, as opposed to having to drag these people along and ultimately they don't want to go there. So you're wasting your time, you're wasting your effort. I always look at it as the time that I spent with an individual, what is the one, return on investment, and two, the return on time? Because time is the hottest commodity, the most valued aspect in any person's life. So if I don't have that ability to feel like I'm getting something out of this situation or this conversation, then I have to detach myself and get out of that particular circumstance or situation.
Which is why I appreciate you coming and talking to me.
Well, I'm happy. Listen, and that's another thing. I'm happy with the success you've had, but I'm even more so impressed with your ability to keep moving forward and staying consistent. So kudos to you on the consistency, because I remember when you looked like a straight up bum when I came on the first time. Now, in all seriousness and all jokes aside, bro, I am happy for you and I am impressed with the consistency, because I've seen the guests you've had on and you make sure that you hit those people up. There is no, I don't think you have a booking agent or anything like that, right?
No, man, no, just me.
It's all you. You always, and you go out your way, you DM these people, you email these people, and they ultimately come on the show, which helps you grow, right? Mm. I bet you can say the same thing. The people that you've talked to and interviewed has helped your mind expand beyond belief, right? That's why we do these podcasts, is because we want to talk to those people that we know that are going to help us too as well. So it's almost for our own selfish reasons in a lot of ways, but we also know that we're going to give value to the people that are listening.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's always been my philosophy to an extent with podcasting, is that I've always wanted to talk to people who I feel I can learn something from, or I like their content and their story and what they're about, and I can just sit and listen. It's always been like, that's always kind of been my main focus, and why I started was like to expand my knowledge. And if I could get people to listen as well, that would be great. And it was a perk. I appreciate the kind words as well, like a lot, because you ain't even said that to me before. So that's a win for me. I'm happy.
Yeah. I haven't been able to say it to you, but now I did. So,
So how do you like remain motivated as well? Because I think that's such an important thing, because you've got to motivate like the people you're working with. How do you remain motivated?
I mean, there's no end to anything that I want to accomplish, you know? There's no end to it. I always thought like, I'm gonna get to a certain place and just be like, oh, I'm cool. Then I started thinking, when I started getting wins periodically, you know, and I started leveling up, I'm like, oh, I got the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. I come to the realization that I'm never going to be satisfied, which is okay. I'm cool with that, which is because I'm always on the hunt. You know, I'm always striving for more. So that's why my mentality is, and don't get me wrong, I have days where I am unmotivated, but I also have to kick myself in the ass and keep it moving and go forward. But it's very short lived. Like, man, damn, when something doesn't go right, obviously you're going to be demotivated in some capacity, but that has to be short-lived. You have to be able to pick yourself up and keep it going. And that should actually motivate you more to come back from a loss, more so than a win. But the wins, how I look at it is like, okay, I got this win. I made it to the next stage, right? Like a video game almost, right? You ever play, remember old school Mortal Kombat? Like you make those, you go up the ladder. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel, right? So like every day it's like going up the ladder. It is good though, however, just to keep yourself from getting down on yourself a lot of ways, because people look at outside sources as a means of their own success, where they compare too much. And at that time, you have to look and look back at the dots that were connected. And I say this because I don't know why I keep saying dots connected, because I just listened to a Steve Jobs, the Steve Jobs presentation.
Yeah.
Or a speech. So it's deep. It's in my mind right now. So my bad. But connections, though, right? So I look at it like, damn, all right, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished within the past year or so. If I'm doing something better, or I elevated from last year, then that's a win. But you got to stay hungry, right? So it's good to keep that in mind, in that perspective of, okay, I've done well now, but I still have more to go. And the two traits that I know that successful people have is, one, they feel they are better than most people, if not everyone. But total contrast to that is that they feel they're not good enough. So they're always working to achieve more. Mm-hmm. Right. So it goes back and forth. It's a push and a pull type of concept. And that's where you look at, okay, look at your achievements, feel good about those achievements, but never settle from those achievements. You always should be progressing. You should always look to bring up value, so on and so forth, right? So motivation, we talk about going back to that. That's how I stay motivated. It's like, okay, what's the next and the next and the next and the next? And, you know, there's other things, right? There's outside motivation, or there's intrinsic and extrinsic, right? Intrinsic is what I just talked about. Extrinsic, you're looking at your family. I look at my wife, I look at my kids. If I don't work, if I don't do the things that I need to do, if I don't spend time outside of the house, they can't eat. We can't live the life we want to live. We can't do the things we want to do. And that's an issue for me. You know, I've always been someone who was looked upon to take care of people, right? As a leader, even when I was a young kid, you know, taking care of my mother, taking care of my little sister, you know, making sure that I was a leader on every team that I was on. Even when I was in MMA, we had a team of fighters. I led the team. I was the captain of that team, you know. And now being a coach, I lead my athletes. As a business owner, I lead my employees. And there's a difference between leading and managing, which I suck at. I'm not a good manager. That's why I'm more of a visionary as opposed to an integrator, right? So I have to understand what I'm good at, what I suck at. And so what motivates me is to understand, okay, where's the weak links? What do I need to improve upon that's going to enhance who I am as a person, who I am as a man? And how is that going to help me, you know, further down the line to get the goals that I need to get accomplished? There's a ton of things when it comes down to every day. Like even this morning, there's been, I'm always thinking about like, how can I improve upon the way I handled a situation, right? So, you know, not to get too personal, but like when I look into fatherhood, when I look into being a parent, it's every day, man. That shit is a job for sure. That's a career, right, in itself. My wife has to deal with it more than I do because she's here, you know, she's at the house. And for me, when I do come home, it's like, all right, let me teach what I need to teach. But I also need to understand that it's not always going to be relayed over the way, or it's not always going to be accepted the way I related over, or the way I thought it was supposed to be accepted. And I have to deal with that. And I have to figure out the right path to get the information across to my kids so that they understand it appropriately, and so that I'm not being an asshole either, right? Because there is times where dads especially, in my opinion, can be too hard on their kids, right? But there also has to be a line that is drawn of, okay, be stern, but also be approachable, right? You want to be respected, but you also want to make sure that your kids don't hate you, right? Not to say that they're not, because they will at times, and that's fine, because that's how it goes. But you also should have the ability to go to your son or your daughter or whatever, and them feel comfortable to talk to you about certain circumstances and situations that they're going through, right? And that's always a challenge, man. That's my major challenge. It's the same thing with employees, man. Like, for me, I'm a little bit more cutthroat with them because they're grown, you know? And the most important thing for me is, like, show effort. And if you do something wrong, own it and then work to get it better. And sometimes I've gotten harder to deal with over my years just because of the time in the game. And I'm harder to impress because I see, like I'm saying, I'm with Tim, I'm with Kevin, I'm with those people that require excellence in all aspects. And so if I don't see absolute excellence in a lot of ways, I may address it as, okay, you need to get better. And this is unacceptable by any standards, but especially mine, because we're trying to be the best that we can be. Not second rate, not okay, not this will do, not I'll take it, I'll make it work. No, it has to be great. And I even hold myself to that, which is important, because if I don't hold myself to that, I can't preach it. Right? I can't talk about it if I'm not leading from the front and the back. So, yeah, I don't know if that went on a tangent, but you know what I mean.
No, that's all right, brother. I like listening to them because they're always it's always good information, and I totally get you. The people need to have accountability for their actions. Is in if yeah. if they fuck up, they need that accountability, and then also they need to have that same drive as you, because you don't want no weak links. Do you know what I mean? Like if you treat it like you're going to battle, you wouldn't take certain people with you, right? You're going to win a war. And if they're not up to those standards, you're thinking, I don't want you in my team. You can go fight for the other side if you want, because you'll be the weak link in their team.
Yeah, yeah. I want Spartans, man. I want wolves, you know, around me, surrounding me. You know, like, you've seen 300. And obviously, I have a close connection with that. My son's name's Leonidas. And there's that part in the movie where they asked the Arcadians, like, you know, you ready to go? And they're like, there's too many of them. And Leonidas goes, man, he's like, we only have 300 men. He's like, I got enough soldiers here. I got enough Spartans here to take care of a whole army. And I don't need 300, because they're solely embedded into dying on the battlefield for what they believe in and not doing this thing part-time. I don't need part-time warriors. You know what I mean? I need full-time, ready to go, ready to battle at any moment in time and do it to the best of their abilities. And they have to have the abilities, you know? So it's not just like effort. I do love effort. That's first and foremost. But you better have some skills to back it up too as well, you know?
What's it been like working with Kevin Lee for you? Like, has it been challenge? Like, has there been hurdles and challenges, or has he been cool and cushy and just everything like, yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's been wonderful, honestly. He's a guy that I didn't really know what to think because of, you know, the past things that he's done. But, man, he's super cool, man. He's actually one of the guys, he's one of the most humble and approachable to everybody. He talks to everybody in the gym. Yes, sir. No, sir. Looks me in the eyes, stays respectful, asks questions. We ran a personality test on him, a Braverman's test, and it makes sense. He was predominantly acetylcholine dominant, which basically means that he's very analytical. He likes to ask questions, and I can see that through us training with him. He doesn't question it being wrong. He questions it because he wants to know what's going on, right? So there's a respect factor there. And he also is a hard worker, man. Like, he definitely comes in, he works his ass off, he stays diligent, he's consistent even when he knows he doesn't have a fight, or if he does have a fight, it doesn't matter. And again, like I said, he always asks questions. So it's been great. You know, obviously he's had injuries, and he's had some problems in the past with these injuries, especially in his knees. He's had, and I think it was the best thing for him to come not just train with me, but just weight training in general. He's never really done any weight training. And if he has done it, he's done it on his own. And he'll tell you himself, it hasn't been structured. It's just kind of like, let's just go in there and lift. So for me, it was taking him back, you know, with the veterans. And a veteran, you can be at any age, right? If you've been doing it for 10 plus years at the highest level, you're a veteran, you know. So he's 29 years old, but his body and the way he's competed, he's up and, you know, he might as well be a 40-year-old man, you know. And I'm not saying that because of his body being beat down. I'm saying that through the knowledge and through the experience. So with the veterans, and that's primarily who I work with now, I look at building back function, right? Building back, even if they don't have the structure anymore, we build that first, we build the foundation so that, you know, they can keep training and they can keep improving. And when you give them that newfound function, they're able to do more things and they're able to sustain their career for a longer duration. So taking it back, I'm looking at all the way up the chain. So I'm going from, like, we'll spend a whole hour sometimes on big toe flexion, you know, and that'll be the session. Understanding that this is very important because through that kinematic sequence, we have to have the support system to back that up. And if I don't have the support system locked in, then everything up the chain isn't going to be working properly because you're going to have compensatory strategies built in based upon the dysfunction of the bottom half. So we go up that, and then he sees it and he's like, well, now it all makes sense of why I wasn't able to move the way I need to move. Studying sport-specific movement patterns and then putting it into a general perspective, taking that general perspective, enhancing the general qualities, and then just from his experience and his know-how, he can take that general quality and move it into his sport-specific training world, where now he's like, man, I understand why you were showing me that internal-external rotation of my hip, because I can turn my punches over more. And I don't even have to tell him. He knows it because of his experience. Now, with the other guys, the younger guys that we have, it's building out their ability to be strong, powerful, power endurance, and giving them tools that they need that they can't really get right now because of it takes time, right? So the tools that we give them is endurance, is power endurance more so than anything, mobility, stability, stuff like that, because they're not efficient enough inside of skill training to be efficient or have the economy of their energy output. So like, for instance, Dustin Poirier comes in and he's fresh off the couch, which he never is, but let's just say it for purposes of what I'm talking about. If he's off the couch, he can literally come in and do 10 or 12 rounds of hard sparring, because sparring and fighting, he's super accustomed to. So he knows how to pace himself. He knows how to, you know, maneuver himself in the right position to where he's not putting out a huge amount of effort. He knows the direct amount of volume that he needs to throw because of how in shape or out of shape he is. So he never is overdoing it. He's never redlining because he knows how to pace himself. And that comes from experience. Also, there's not a high level of anxiety there because he knows how it feels to get punched in the face, and he knows how to punch somebody in the face, right? New guys, anxiety is there, especially if they're sparring world champions, right? You get camps like, you know, a Kill Cliff or an ATT or wherever, right? And these guys are going against each other. You know, it's big room and everybody's somewhat in the UFC, Bellator, 1FC, whatever. They're all high level killers. So you're always fighting. But if you're not used to going against those people and you're stepping in as a youngster, you're looking at these guys on TV and you're automatically going to be anxiety driven. So now your heart rate's increased, right? Your heart rate's increased, blood flow, things like that. And now, okay, I'm breathing heavier. My heart's pounding, right? My mind isn't as clear as it needs to be because I'm thinking fight or flight, right? All the time. You flip that over to somebody who's been in that room for a long time, and it's like, oh, it's another day. See what I'm saying? So with the younger guys, how we can defend that is to get them as highly condition as possible. Doesn't work all the time. Obviously, it's more of a psychological aspect too as well. especially the guys going into the UFC or things like that. That's experience. But we can give them somewhat of a leeway to keep them performing as they need to inside the training room. And then that will carry over into the fight. The good thing about the fight is that if they are fighting lower level, but they're training with high level people, that's not as anxiety driven. They're more afraid of what's going on inside the gym itself than actual fighting their opponents, because they're on another level.
Yeah. I suppose that's the perks of, like you said, with Kevin Lee, is like, because he's been around for a long time and classed as sort of a veteran at the age of 29. He doesn't have that, doesn't have all that, those little bits and bobs. Whereas when someone new comes in, it is like, okay, we've got to deal with those anxieties, deal with all those other if, buts and maybes and negatives and positives, and kind of mold someone. Whereas he's kind of already, to an extent, ready made. He just needs a bit of stripping back and refocusing and reworking.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not always like that, but for the most part, you know, a majority of that is the way that goes. You know, you still got guys that are high level and been in the game for a long time that still get somewhat of anxiety, and they make it through. Like, from what I heard, you know, GSP always, every fight was, you know, like terrifying for him, you know? So, you know, it just depends on the person. It depends on their mind frame. Like, if you talk to like GSP or you talk to Nate Diaz, two different mind frames, right? But both successful in their own right, you know? But for the most part, those guys know how to cope with those stresses. And the highest level guys do know how to do that. And I think that's what separates the great from the good, you know, especially in the UFC or in any combat, any sport, really. NFL, NBA, we got NBA guys in here. We got the Morris twins. Those guys, man, it's like, one, they're 6'8", well, 6'9", one of them 6'9", the other one 6'8". And
shit, that's tall.
They're tall, right? I feel like a baby. I tell them, yo, sit down, talk to me, please. Like, I'm like, yo, bro, I can't do it. But like the thing is that with them, you would never know that they're multimillionaires, because they're just like regular guys when they walk in the gym. And so I think that because they're comfortable. And I see that with a lot of the young guys that come in, they got, you know, the chest puffed up, and they feel like they got to prove themselves. With the older guys, the guys that have experience, the guys that have done something, for the most part, right? I'm talking majority here, from what I've come to experience, is they have nothing to really prove, right? So that the ego, for the most part, isn't like that. And because of the fact that they're stepping into a world where we are the most experienced, they're more liable, or they're more capable, and I guess less reluctant to listen to what we have to say as a student, as opposed to a know-it-all, right? So that's why, like, when I started at the gym I started at, you know how that goes. Like, when I started there, I wasn't nervous, you know, to train a Dustin Poirier, an Edson Barbosa, a Tisha Torres, Ioana Jędrzejczyk, because I knew that when they came into the gym, the weight room, I was the veteran. I was the guy that can teach them, you know. It's different if you step on the mats and I'm like, oh, okay, now it's going to be a rough night or a rough day, you know. But that comes from confidence, experience, things like that. But that bleeds into their ability to buy into you as a coach, as a leader, because confidence has to be there. You're showcasing your abilities as that leader. I talked with, I had Eddie Gallagher on the podcast the other day. It'll be out this week, but I spent the whole 2 days with him before we even podcasted, because I wanted to get to know him. And, we got some other things in the works, which is going to be exciting, but you know, he's been through a lot. I don't know if you know his background and what happened there. But I wanted to talk to him mainly about this situation that caused this to happen, where it was more so about a disconnect between the understanding of leadership, not from his aspect, but from the people that he was leading. They didn't buy in, or they didn't want to buy in to his process of leading, right? And he would tell me other stories, is like when they were getting shot at and things like that, that in the face of adversity, you have to be the one that stays as calm as possible, because they look to you as that beacon of hope, right? And if that, I'm trying to think. In a picture that they can look at to understand how they need to act, right? In any way, right? So if I look at my leader and we're in a firefight, and I look over and a person in charge is, you know, going shit crazy and tripping out, well, I'm gonna be like, uh-oh, we're in bad position here, right? But if my leader looks, I look at my leader, and my leader's calm, cool, collected, I'm gonna be calm, cool, and collected, because I know that we have the situation under control. So that goes with everything. So I look at that in my house, I look at that in my business, right? No matter the circumstances. And I love big problems. I don't like small problems, believe it or not. I love big problems, because I can solve big problems. Small problems are tedious, you know. That's because I am a visionary. There's a difference. We'll talk about the similarities and differences. But the big problems I look forward to, because within those big problems, you grow, right? You become better. And so I look at it as an obstacle that I am going to overcome, that is going to allow me to increase my value because of growth that will occur from this situation. So going back to the point I was talking with you know, making sure that as a coach, you have to be in control of the situation. You have to be confident, and you also have to know what you're talking about, what you're saying is 100% accurate, because if you don't think so, it's going to show. And when that shows, the athlete or whoever you're trying to lead isn't going to follow, because they're like, he doesn't even know. So you have to be truthful, right? If I don't know something, I'm going to say, I don't know, I never heard of that. Or I've heard of it, but I'm not too sure. Let me go ahead and check it out. You have to be humble enough to be like, yo, no, I'm not a know-it-all. Let me find out. Or, yo, I got my coach here that has his master's in sports nutrition, and we're talking just about this. Let me go talk to him, or let me bring him in and he can tell you, you know, as opposed to trying to be that know-it-all, because people respect you more for that. And in all honesty, if you are, and this is for anybody who's leading a team, anybody who owns their own business, look for people that you can put in place to be around that is smarter than you, that is better than you at certain things that you know you suck at, because they're going to help you level up, and it makes you look like a better leader, because you're not spreading yourself super thin and you're focusing in on what you're truly the greatest at, or at least in your mind, the greatest that you can be, you know?
Do you have favorites? But who you train? Do you have any favorites?
No, don't do that to me.
I knew you were going to say that.
I have there's different, like I like certain things based upon the individual, right? So like with Kevin, I like the fact that he's very receptive and accepting of whatever we do, right? And he loves to learn new things, which is awesome. With Tim, he loves to get after it. He's one of those guys that I can like go back to my earlier years in coaching, as I was like coaching high school kids. Believe it or not, he's a 50-year-old man, but he likes to push himself. Like when I was doing boot camps and stuff like that, it brings me back to that world. So it's a lot less detailed. It's a lot less I don't want to say science based, but it's a lot less like minutia. It's more about simple, basic stuff, but done correctly and you know, pushing him and motivating him, because he likes that. He actually likes me like, you know, hitting pads and throwing shots at him and stuff like that. So that's what I like about him. I got a guy, Chase Sherman, who's like, he's got a background in exercise science, And I mean, if you guys don't know Chase Sherman, he's a heavyweight UFC fighter. He fought, but he's actually a bare knuckle heavyweight champion. And he also played football, Division I football, as an O-lineman. He has his background in exercise science. That's what he went to school for. So, like, he's asking me even more questions, and he knows some of the stuff. So now we talk a little bit more about recovery. We talk a bit more about mobility and why it's important and how it can translate over. So that's fun for me because it keeps me on my toes, and it allows me to be able to relay over information enough to where the value is high, but also low enough in a sense so that he can understand it from that level, because he's obviously more focused on fighting than building his understanding of physical preparation. But I'm giving him a baseline of knowledge that he can take with him when he pivots out of fighting. You know, same thing with Tyler Ray. You know, Tyler's got his background is in exercise science too. You know, so I'm telling him, but he's another guy that just likes to get after it. So for me, with him, I throw things at him because he's such a great athlete. Kind of like how I did with Will Brooks and how I did with a few others that were super athletic. I get to have fun with that. I get to throw in some like really high level like plyometrics and multi-directional plyos and contrast training and just throw out all the stops, right? So that's fun when I can go more high level because they can do it, right? So there's several different things of why I like to do things with certain individuals.
What's your proudest business achievement, would you say, so far, like where you've kind of reflected and been like, man, I'm fucking proud of this? Is it everything as a whole? Is it the brand? Like, just sort of, or the first step even could be your proudest moment?
I think one of the proudest moments was like being able to go look back and being able to go, I was able to do, you know, 14 different countries seminars around the world. And every day I'm proud to see that I get notoriety from different countries, not just like local, you know, statewide, countryside, whatever, but all around the world, which is definitely somewhat of an achievement. Also, I think being able to generate revenue in the seven figures with the online business was something of a great accomplishment in the very early stages of what we did, you know. And there's obviously ups and downs, but being able to do that was crazy, you know, from a business standpoint, generate that amount of money, doing the things that I've been accustomed to doing, not knowing that I could actually make that amount of money doing programs online, you know, which is crazy to me, but it's been beneficial, you know, for everyone, not just me. You know, I've been able to help people from around the world that couldn't train with me, that can't come to the gym, that can't even do, I don't even do a whole lot of online coaching, because I honestly, the ones that I have, I love, you know, like, I mean, I train UFC fighters, I train regular people, general pop, online. It's not ideal for me, and they know that, but I've been able to do it. But I can't train everybody. So putting together a program and doing all this free content, when I get emails, when I get DMs, when I get comments saying that this particular exercise or this particular workout or this particular program has helped them do, you know, A, B, and C, and, you know, gave me more confidence and just overall just better in life. That's a big accomplishment for me. So being able to do that, when I look back at it, I'm like, okay, I've been able to help a lot of people and I'm not stopping, and it's just going to get better and better and bigger and bigger.
Man, like, it's mad how much your story has changed even over like the last 4-5 years, because like I've mentioned before, I reached out to you when you had like, I don't know, 7,000-8,000 followers on socials, and you were working out of a certain gym, and we were speaking about, this was even like before Dustin had fought Conor McGregor, like ages before then, within the UFC, and we were talking about that, and then I was like, oh, what do you think would happen if Dustin fought Conor? And I think you predicted like some stoppage and stuff like that. But it was a long time ago, and I was thinking, even talking to you then, like, you know, well spoken, knew your knowledge and could see that drive and passion. And then just as the years have gone by, it's just mad how like you've kind of gone from there to where you are now with still so much more to come. Like, it's just within a short time, like 4 years or 4 or 5 years isn't like massive, but I think the way your journey's gone and how much it's grown in that time is like pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's, and now when I look back at it like that, like one of the guys came to the gym that's known me since I started training, really. I mean, Dean looks at it every day and he's like, damn, I can't believe you're doing this, you know, which is cool. Like, it's because he's known me since I was, you know, he didn't even want me in the gym. Like, he wanted to kick me out of the gym the first day. You know, he's like, get this guy out of here, right? Just because I was rough and, you know, straight out of college. And so, I mean, but now it's like, all right, come and you see the progression. And that's great. Like, when I go look back at that, when we talk about all my accomplishments there. And I have to do that because I'm hard on myself, very hard. And I can be almost, it could be almost a detriment to the progression, right? So if anybody out there listening that goes through that circumstance and that downward like mindset, or just too hard on themselves, take a look back at those little wins that you've accomplished, you know, and as long as you're doing things that you weren't doing the year before from a progressive standpoint and have accomplished something from the years past, you're in the right, you're going the right direction, right? So that's one thing. At the same time, I still want it all. You know, I still want to grow. I still want to achieve more. I still want to do things and put people in the right position to be successful too. I still want my people to be six-figure, seven-figure earners. I still want to have multiple world champions under my belt. I still want to, you know, grow my supplement line to a bigger industry. I want to help people with the things that I've been able to generate, with the knowledge that I've been able to attain, and also collaborate with like-minded individuals to do greater things. Because it's good if I do it, but it's even better if we bring, you know, people in the same trajectory or have been there and need a boost. I think that that's something that really drives me and gets me excited. Like, the thing with Timberland is exciting, right? Because if you take a look back, even though for me, it's just Tim, we're just talking. It's easy, like, he's my boy. But I go into another room of his, which is like his movie room. Like, he has a studio room. And I look at all the platinum and gold plaques everywhere, and, you know, and I go, oh shit, I forgot he did something with Nelly Furtado. Like, it's Justin Timberlake, and it's like all the Grammys are up there, and I'm just like, oh man, I forget, you know. Or like, if I'm sitting at home, and very rarely am I watching movies, but if I'm watching something with my wife, and Kevin's old movies come popping up on the screen, and I'm like, Kevin James, and I'm like, oh man, that's my son's godfather. That's cool. You know what, yeah, I mean?
It's mad,
he texted me last night. He's mad that I can't go out to the retreat that they invited me to, unfortunately. But I got to do that seminar. So, but there's things like that, man. It's like, you know, those are cool things that I can look back at and still try to achieve more, though, you know, because I'm definitely 33 years old, man. So we'll see what happens within the next decade. You know,
what's your supplement about then? So like, what, obviously you mentioned it and touched it at the beginning, but like, we kind of, you said like, what inspired you to make it, but kind of what's in it, what's it used for, all of that, you know, yeah, like fancy stuff.
A couple of things. Yes. I mean, I'm going to give you the rundown. I'm not going to go super crazy with it. Like I said, this will be something that Jose can talk to you about, but like, for me, I was just like, all right, I take five different things here, and I was piecing them together, and I was like, all right, you need to take this. Like, if for my athletes, I'm like, I take this, you try this, or try this, get this too, and get that. And they're like, man, this is a lot of shit. And I'm like, I know. And I'm like, but it'll help. But do it, you know, do this first, see how that goes, do this first and see how that goes, and then put it together. And if that works, then stick with that. But what I found was if I put it all together, one, my athletes would be able to take it and not give me shit for it, right? Because if you train athletes, you know that a lot of times giving them homework or giving them things to take, if they're not someone like a Kevin Lee or a Dustin Poirier, it's going to be very hard for them to actually follow through because they're athletes. They just want to do what they've been told, and they don't really like to do a lot of things outside of the practice room, right? Or the game itself. So like here, I'm going to put all of this together, right? Package it in one thing, and I'm going to give it to you. And you just got to take one scoop of that a day. Made it a lot simpler for them to follow. Same with me, where I was like, I'm just sick of buying other people's stuff. I might as well just make my own. And so I've been looking to do this for a long time. It's just the timing wasn't right. You know, I've been probably looking to do this for the past 3 years, but the timing wasn't right. Now it's getting to the point where I was still able. One, I didn't have the funds. Now I have the funds to actually get everything in order, because trust me, just this supplement alone was, you know, nothing shy of, and I'm going to give you a number, somewhere around 30,000 just to get it started, which is normal. It took 20,000 to get it started, because you got to have, you know, you got all the licensing, the website, the marketing, the manufacturing, and then also the formulas cost a lot of money, you know. So I want to reformulate this whole thing again, and make it even better, just based off of experience and knowledge and stuff that I get, and also feedback that I've gotten from people. But what's in it now, the main things, the stars formulas that are actually in it, it's a complete electrolyte matrix. So magnesium, potassium, sodium, right? Primarily is going to be good for recovery, replenishment, electrolyte balance, things like that. Especially for if somebody's coming off a weight cut. So if they're coming off the scale, this is something that we can give them. Or, you know, training in the hot sun, so on and so forth. You lose a lot of water, there's a lot of sweat, boom, you can take this. Also has dextrose, which is glycogen, right? It's just glucose. So the body produces or secretes or depletes, I should say, not secretes, depletes glycogen after a hard training session. So it's to replenish that glycogen, fill up the muscles with that glycogen to help you recover, you know, from whatever training stimulus you've done, okay? Branched chain amino acids it's been widely studied now that it doesn't do much. So that's one thing I do want to take out and actually replace it with just some essential amino acids. But you still need leucine. Leucine, it's not bad for you. It's not, you know, it's not something that's going to hurt you or anything like that. But leucine does help with protein synthesis to a degree. Now, it also has been shown in some capacity to help with like muscle breakdown and things like that. You know, so we have that in there. And mainly because it was already in there. So, I mean, the formulas was based upon what the manufacturer had. And that's a big thing too. Like not knowing this, going into the supplement world, I did my research, but I didn't know all that it entails because I was busy coaching. And now learning it on the job, you know, it's like on the job training through experience, the next formula is going to be a little different. Still get a huge amount of benefit from it though. Adaptogens, the adaptogen that I'm taking, I mean, I take lion's mane, rhodiola, all of it, but ashwagandha has been widely studied now. Now with ashwagandha, it brings down cortisol. So like cortisol is a stress hormone, right? So you're getting, especially fighters, we're always in the high cortisol state. We're always stressed out. I work with tactical population too as well. That's something I forgot to tell you. Like I'm working with a large amount of tactical population, SWAT team, military. I have a charity coming out and we'll talk a little bit about that if you want to. But yeah, so with those populations, they're always stressed out. So I wanted to go ahead and throw something in there that was going to allow them to alleviate that stress. Now, mind you, with the anti-inflammatories, with the lowering of cortisol, this may not be an ideal supplement. I'm going to be honest, may not be an ideal supplement for somebody who's trying to gain, you know, massive muscle mass, right? Because you want your body to naturally cope with that stress and get rid of that inflammation itself. You know this, right? It's just like with ice baths, right? They've been saying don't do ice baths after a training session, so on and so forth. But for me, my guys are you know, training consistently, and their goal isn't to build a massive amount of muscle, right? They just want to be in shape for the fight. So that's, in my mind, that's what I was doing it for, right? Didn't know that everybody wanted to take it for everything, right? So if you are looking to do this and you're still trying to build muscle, I would use it as a recovery before you go to bed. Now, you want to make sure that you take it for, I think it's like 4 hours post weight training, so that your body can just relax. So you might want to take it before bed, especially if you're trying to gain weight or gain muscle, that those carbs aren't going to hurt you, right? Especially if you're staying within your macro count, and it's only 35 grams of carbs, so you should be fine. Okay. Turmeric's in there. So turmeric, obviously anti-inflammatory, curcumin, and then also tart cherry extract. The reason why I wanted to put the tart cherry in there for the antioxidants, with a lot of my guys, you know, they're training nonstop. They usually tend to get sick. Their immune system goes down. So putting in those extra antioxidants, helping with blood flow, that has been beneficial for them going further, right? I always found, like with me, with some of my other guys, closer into a camp, and this was like clockwork with one of my guys, who you know is a high-level guy. At 5 weeks out, he always tends to get sick. If you have a full 8 week to 9 week camp, at 5 weeks out, 5 to 4 weeks out, they always tend to come down with something, whether it be just a head cold or, you know, a cough, stomach issues, whatever. It's always like that. So putting in these antioxidants hopefully can help with that, you know. So those are the main ones. And then you have, you know, all your other things, like it's like, you know, we have vitamin C, vitamin B complex, things like that. But it's all standard stuff.
That sounds like a good product. And I think it's good for simplicity as well. Like you said, just putting it all in one place makes a hell of a difference, rather than, oh, you need to go buy this and then buy this and take this supplement. And, oh, you're going to be low on this, so you need to buy this and do. And it's just like, it's especially for me, do you know what I mean? Like a normal run of the mill person, I can't even be fucked to take all those supplements. Whereas if I can get kind of what I need from one pot, one scoop, like it's like, bam, like I'm happy. Like simplicity is always the way, right?
And another thing is, like, it tastes phenomenal. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, for me personally, I'll drink whatever, right? But I know a lot of people want good tasting stuff. So in all actuality, I'd much rather have the formula be 100% on point and it tastes like shit. But it's a perk, right? It's an extra, it's an extra thing that, you know, helps with I guess with sales. If you're in the market and you're in the business of you know, a product, you want to make sure that product is solid on all spectrums, you know, full spectrum, I should say, in all angles. So it looks good, it tastes good, you know, because I mean, you want to make sure the presentation is right. I went back and forth with my guys on just the labeling and the way the bottle looked, because that's important too. You know, they wanted to do a smaller bottle, and I was like, that's not going to make any sense, and we're not going to be able to put as much dextrose in there anyways. It needs to be a big bottle. It cost me a little bit more, obviously, but we got what we wanted in that particular way. They came with, you know, something they wanted to have white bottles. I don't want white bottles. I wanted black bottles. You know, I wanted matte black, not a gloss on the bottle itself. I also, now the new one that I'm going to come out with once we sell out here, we're almost done. I'm going to reformulate it. And then I'm also going to have matte black bottle caps. There's little things there, and there's little details that people really don't think of. But it's important because it's your brand. It's what people are going to look at when they open it. And then also packaging, man. You open up, like, there's things there that we need capital on, and that's why, like, money is important, because it helps you do the things that you want to do and put out a solid product with a solid presentation. Like, I hate the boxes that we use because they're just standard boxes, right? So, like, personally for me, hopefully in the next few months, we'll have boxes that are like the Roushon boxes, you know? And when you open them, you'll have not just a card, but you'll have like, maybe I'll put a shirt in there and put a shaker bottle in there. I want the presentation to be solid because I'm not going to settle for second best. And unfortunately, right now, due to that constraint, we need to do what we can because people just want it at that particular time. And I don't want to stop people from getting the product, but at the end of the day, I also want a good product and a good presentation.
I'm going to throw some shade your way now because you mentioned shirt, brother. You know exactly what I'm on about.
No, listen. So even like, I'm going to get you a shirt. We'll get Maureen on it. Like Maureen should have been sent you that shirt.
Don't commit, man. Don't commit to something that ain't going to be delivered.
What size are you now? You're medium or large?
Medium, man. I'm not large
yet. We got some medium. So I'm going to send you two. I thought you got one. Somebody told me that you got it. What do you have?
Nah.
See, this is what I'm saying. Mediocrity. I can't have it around me.
Do you know what it is, bro? It's because I didn't go through the proper channels and I went to you, and I know you're a busy guy. So it's no reflection on you or anything like that. It's because I was pestering you.
And that's what I'm saying. That's an integrator's job. That's an operator. That's not me. So like, go to Maureen. You have her number. Make sure that you just be like, I need two shirts. Phil told me to have it. She'll be like, did you tell JB to give two shirts? I'll say, yep. And she's going to send it to you.
All right.
So it'll be there. But man, the shipping for the supplements, now that I'm thinking about it, overseas is astronomical, bro. And I don't want to say that to like deter people from buying it. I'm just going to tell you now, forewarning you, that it's high. We're going to try to figure it out to where it's not that high, but I don't know, like I can't do nothing about that. That's customs and everything else, but man, I appreciate those people like Australia, Singapore, New Zealand, anywhere overseas in other countries. Man, you guys pay crazy amount for the supplements. So I appreciate that and thank you for it.
Brother, we've been going for an hour and two. So we'll call it a wrap if you're happy with that.
I'm good. I like it.
Where can people find you, follow you, buy your products, check out your stuff, all of that malarkey?
So I decided to put that link tree together finally on my Instagram. So go to my Instagram. It's at Darus Strong. Yeah. And link in bio. I have everything. So my website's on there. My YouTube's on there. The place where you can buy the supplements, place where you can buy merch, place where you can, get programs and mentorship all on there. Or you can just go to www.darusstrong.com. If you haven't checked out my YouTube channel, check it out. Search Phil Darus Strong. It'll pop up. My podcast, Darus Strong Podcast. Yeah, that's it for now. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Sweet.
Make sure you follow. If you haven't done so, JB Podcast, make sure you sign up, subscribe, hit the like. Where you have this at? What podcast?
YouTube, Spotify, all of them, iTunes, all the fancy stuff.
Rate the JB Podcast right now if you haven't done so. And make sure you follow on YouTube.
Cheers, brother. Cool. I'll chat to you for a couple of minutes off stream, if that's cool with you. Really appreciated your time, man. Great knowledge in there. Loved it. Definitely going to be getting you on for probably a seventh time at some point.
All good, bro. Thank you.